Blog Talk Radio.
To do a show since, well, the last show, because I'm excited to do every show. And it's good to be back on the air. March 25th. So other than the one show I did, it's kind of a, I tried something different. I didn't like it, so I didn't do it again. But that doesn't mean I won't try something different again. But other than that, we haven't been on the air since right after the Super Bowl. We did our post-Super Bowl show, which we are pleased by far the most popular Madden Voice episode ever. And when I say by far, I mean twice the listeners of any show we've ever done. And thank you all for the support, and we appreciate the love. But we're back now. A lot is going on in free agency, and it was funny. I hadn't talked to either one of my co-hosts in a while, and then first I get a text message from Dr. Train saying, "Hey, what's going on? What's happening? What's going on with First Take? I don't see Steven and Skip on there." And then later that day, you get an email from K-Star saying, "Hey, guys, y'all want to do a show?" And I said, "Well, you know what? Both these guys hitting me up on the same day after not talking in as long as it's been since we talked. That's an omen. I believe in omens. I believe in messages from above and beyond. I do. I don't want to say that I'm strange. I think I'm normal, but I believe in that stuff." And that was a message to come back on the air live, bring you up to date on what's going on in the NFL. Not that you don't know, but only the way the Madden Voice can do it. So without any further ado, let me introduce my first co-host. Relocated out to California now, so he's a California boy, but we still know him as the EAFL Super Bowl I champion. Always will be the EAFL Super Bowl I champion, and he is our co-host, and he is with us, the man with the PhD, Dr. Train. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
What up, T? Glad to be on air again, man.
Yes, sir. It's
I
good to have you. I missed you too, man. I mean, you know, we get, well, first let's do all hello. Let's bring the other guy on here. This is the guy who, you know, now I got to be honest, man. We're going to have to ask him what happened, because I've been introducing him as one of the best Madden players ever. And I got to tell you, with what I heard about the last major tournament, I'm questioning my judgment, because I'm not sure if he can hold on to one of the best titles. Maybe he can. Maybe he can. I do know he's a great Madden player, though. That I do know. I will never take that away from him. And we are going to ask him about that last $140,000 tournament. Well, actually, $400,000 in cash and prizes, but the champion got $140,000. We will ask him about that. But right now, we know him as our other co-host, K-Star. Welcome back to the Madden Voice.
Yo, what up? That introduction was definitely not on the agenda. Just let me tell you something. I definitely made a cut for that. We can talk about that, because I definitely am still no greatest of all time. That's ridiculous. I'll definitely look to defend my honor. That's, I'm glad to be back. Both of you guys, how are you doing tonight?
What's up, Kay? Miss you too.
You too, bro.
Well, it's good to have you guys back. And, you know, the one thing that I noticed is the only, honestly, I listen to a lot of sports radio, a lot of sports talk on the internet, on TV, and I got to tell you, the only other show that even can hold my attention is First Take, and only when Skip and Stephen A are on. I didn't even like it with them other guys, and I don't have anything against them. I actually like Mike Hill. I think a lot, you know, and they had some of the same people on, you know, commentaries, but without Skip and Stephen A, I didn't even watch it. I wasn't interested in it. And I think, honestly, the more people that find out about the Madden Voice, the more people that find out what we have to offer, I think they're going to see us, you know, as a very comparable alternative to that show. And the one thing I want to put out to all our fans out there is we really seriously want to consider a name change to the show. And I've tried to hold on to the Madden Voice name simply because it's our roots and it's how we started. And we will always have love for the video game and the video game community. But that said, you know, at some point, I know I'm going to get a little message, a little email, a little letter or something from EA Sports saying, hey, man, you really maybe shouldn't be using that name Madden. And I don't want that to happen. So I'd like to, you know, do something before that and change the name of the show. So if anybody has any suggestions, names that they want to suggest, you know, hit us up on Twitter, the Madden Voice, or on Facebook and say, had you considered this, had you considered that? Because once we come up with a new name, then that will mean a lot of other, the domino effect, new website, new URL, new marketing materials. I mean, there's a lot that's going to go into it. So, you know, it's the end of March now. We'll float this out there for a couple of months, and if we get something positive by, say, June, we'll roll with it. If not, then we'll hold on to this name for the next season, and then we'll pick this up next season. So that's where we're at right now. Anyway, with that said, first of all, before we get into all the football talk, Train, how you been, man? How's everything out in Cali? You know, how have you been, man? We got to tell everybody how you been, man.
Cali is fun, man. I really don't have any complaints. Job's coming along well, meeting people, so I'm loving it.
Okay, all right, we like that. And K-Star, I mean, we might as well, you know, well, first of all, how have you been? And second of all, talk to us a little bit about the tournament. And, you know, we know what you didn't do as well as you had hoped for. Talk about it.
I'm doing all right out here. Been doing my usual thing as far as working goes and playing money on Madden on the Virgin Gaming. Shout out to them. And while we're on the topic of Virgin Gaming, yeah, let's get to that. I went out there feeling pretty good. Won my first game against a guy level 10. He was running total Madden heads out there. That Green Bay offense with the run, read option, all that stuff. And it's annoying to stop, but we handled that situation without really much of a game given. But then we moved on. And actually, you know, it was kind of crazy because not only was I in the suit, I didn't think anyone else was in the suit, first of all. And I was in the suit to look good because I wanted to look good when I won. That was the whole appeal of it. And there's this other guy who happens to be wearing a suit, who happens to be a Steelers fan, who I happen to play right there, right then. And I haven't met this guy before. I've never met him in my life. I've never seen him. But, yo, he was good. I got to give it to him. He ended up beating me. And the reason why was because there's actually three times I was at the two-yard line, and I refused to take my points, take my three. Pride eventually did me in. He ended up winning the game by three. And the worst part of all is that in this game, there was 2 minutes and 30 seconds left, and it was tied. And again, that fourth and one or fourth and two, I went for the 2 yard line, didn't get it, which is my fault. And I got to wear that. I have to think about that for a while. But as far as me, not being great, let's just hold on, guys. Relax. You know, I mean, there's been other tournaments since then. First of all, that I've been doing really well in, and last I checked. In Harrisburg, they got a tournament coming up in a couple weeks, and it's called the Kruger's Crew Tournament. And my crew ended up winning last year. And if you actually were to look at the picture, you see me right dead in the middle of it, smiling and all, looking all pretty and everything. So, but let's relax.
Let's give credit where credit is due. Our friend, yours and mine, Problem, won this tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations to Problem for winning the tournament, first of all. We know him. You know him. I know him. I met his family. He's a good young man, and I'm happy for him and his family. $140,000, that's life-changing money right there.
Nice.
But I believe if the count is correct, this would make the third Madden Challenge for Problem. And
he was great there. No one's going to deny that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. I mean, there's always been talk that Big Gene might be the greatest of all time, but I think even that talk now I think Problem has that title. And hey, congratulations to him and the best of luck. And hey, you know, K-Star, you're one of the few that could say that you played this game on television. You know, been on ESPN, on an internationally televised show. So certainly your credibility and credentials are not to be questioned. But now we want to see you come and win a major and bring that title back to the Madden voice. You know what I'm saying? Come on back down and say, hey, guys, you know, I won this big tournament for, you know, whatever, thousands and thousands of dollars. That's what I'm looking to see now. You know what I mean? That's what I want for our coach. Train, am I wrong? Holler at him.
I would have to agree, man. That would be kind of awesome.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. That's going to happen. That will happen. I can guarantee that right here. That will happen.
Right.
I'm not old. I'm 26. I mean, I'm maybe a little mad and old. But let me be clear. There's still no one who's quicker man to man, you know, quick off than me. I still have Molly quick on the stick, so I'll never change. You can still find me in iTunes, baby. So let's get it.
All right. Sounds good. All right, let's roll right into football. Let's roll right into free agency. Let's talk about the Super Bowl champs because not only are they the Super Bowl champs, but they're probably the team that everyone is saying, huh? You know, I don't know. I mean, I've been following football a very long time, and I cannot tell you that I've seen a Super Bowl champion team do the things that this team has done. And, you know, I'll get you guys' take on it, particularly K-Star, although we pretty much know K-Star is not going to have many positive things about the Ravens. But that said, you know, let's recap for a little bit here. I mean, first thing is, of course, they have signed Joe Flacco to, I believe it's the richest contract in NFL history, 6 years, $120 million, $52 million guaranteed, only second to Drew Brees' $60 million guaranteed. Let me ask you guys a question. We talk about the other things that the Ravens did. Let me ask you first, Train. Do you think yes, sir?
I was going to say, bring me in on the line.
Oh, okay.
For you,
There you go. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay,
right. Go with it.
All right, so the question for you, Train, is, you know, if you're Ozzie Newsome, if you're the general manager, and you're paying this guy Drew Brees-type money, more money than Tom Brady, do you think he's worth it?
I've been asking myself that question ever since they started, ever since they broke that contract for him. The problem with the quarterback position is, like you stated several times on several shows, is that they get all the accolades and they get all the blame. So here you have a quarterback who's had winning seasons since he's been in the league. They've been to the playoffs several years, and then he finally lands the big one. And when you look at the details of the game, no, you don't see him stand out like Brees and Rodgers and Brady and the rest of them. But he did what he needed to do to win it. And just in particular this year, their offense did win games for them this year. They did. So is he deserving of the money just based on what they pay a quarterback to do? Yes, when you deliver the Super Bowl, that's it. And, I mean, we know Anquan Boldin was a huge part of why they won that game, but still, our quarterbacks get, you know, they get all the accolades once the team wins. What I think it does do, especially with all the moves that they've already made, is it puts a ton of pressure on Flacco to continue moving forward. It puts a ton of pressure on him to take that next step so that he's actually seen. And because right now, personally, I don't put him in the same as far as like playing purely just playing the quarterback position, no, I'm still not ready to anoint him at the same place that I put Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Manning, Tom Brady.
But isn't that a contradiction? Because
I mean, sort of. It is. I'm not saying. I won't deny that it isn't. But it's like I'm still waiting to see a little more from this dude. But just on the fact of what you pay quarterbacks for, or why you pay quarterbacks, he's kind of done it all. And once you solidify that Super Bowl, that's kind of it. That takes you over the hump.
Yeah. Hey, K-Star, what do you think? Now, this is, let me remind everybody and any of the new listeners that might be there, K-Star is a Steelers fan. And when I say a Steelers fan, I mean, you know, the guy, you know, gold and black, I mean, that's probably in his veins. And I'm pretty sure the suit he wore was probably gold and black. I mean, this is a Steeler, like, Steeler, okay? That said, let's get your honest opinion here. What do you think about the signing of Flacco for that amount of money, 6 years, $120 million?
I mean, you don't have to be a Steelers fan, a Ravens hater, or anyone else to realize that this man has had, and you can look at it, in his career, the best 4 games in his life, and yes, they were in the playoffs, and yes, they were amongst the best in NFL history, but when you look at his whole body of work, and not just the last 4 games, because that's what everyone is stuck on right now, when you look at his whole body of work, it does not sit here and say, this guy is the best player in the NFL, which is what he's getting paid right now. Now, don't get me wrong, Joe Flacco is a good quarterback. I'm not going to bash him. Actually, I've always been very real, very real about Joe Flacco as a player. He's a guy that, you know, he consistently wins. He's in the playoffs every year. He can't be denied of that. But he's, again, a guy that's not going to his team throughout the season to get them into the playoffs. We've seen that. I think when you look at just his production, there'll be games where he will be abysmal. And for him to get paid more than, you know, a Drew Brees, a Peyton Manning, a Tom Brady, hell, even a Big Ben, is crazy to me. And you know, the Ravens should have taken that contract last year before all this wild stuff happened, but here we are. Hopefully he doesn't keep up that level of play, but honestly, that level of play was so high, and when you look at his career, the percentage of games in which he played like that are so low that I don't actually see that playing out, because that might be the Steelers fan of me hoping for that, but definitely not worth $120 million. I don't care if you are a Steelers fan or Ravens fan, whatever you are. I think everyone can agree with that and definitely make a case for that.
Yeah, I've been torn on this one myself, and I came down to looking at my quarterback and saying, you know, one of the biggest knocks on Tony Romo, and rightfully so, is he doesn't win the big game. You know, he folds, you know, in the brightest of lights when the Cowboys truly need him to deliver. Unfortunately, we are seeing a pattern where up to this date, he has not delivered, and I have now jumped on that bandwagon with everyone else after what I saw against the Redskins in the last game of the season. And yet, I say, well, how much would we pay for a guy that can win the big game? You know, a guy that can out-duel Tom Brady in a big game, a guy that can beat, you know, a 49ers defense, a guy that can beat a Pittsburgh Steelers defense, you know, teams that we know and respect. And is there a price tag for that? And in the NFL today, when the new thing is now going out and getting the mobile read option quarterbacks, or even turning your quarterback into a read option quarterback, or who knows what we're going to see in Philly with this, since it looks like Michael Vick's going to be there for a little bit longer, and to have a relatively mobile. He's not as mobile as some of the quarterbacks, but he can get around in that pocket. He can throw the ball, and he's playing at a high level. Even when he was written off this year with the injuries that they had on that team, he still managed to find a way to lead that team to victory, win some big games, and openly win the Super Bowl. I said, you know what? I can't hate on it anymore. I agree that when you look at his numbers and you look at some of the bad games, I mean, he's had some horrendous games. I believe he's recorded as having the lowest quarterback rating in NFL history in one particular game. But that said, he won the Super Bowl. and in a year that no one picked them to win the Super Bowl. So, you know what? God bless him. You know, give him his money, and let's see what he does. Now the question is going to be, what do you do now? What do you do now? Are you going to continue to play at that level like a Brady, like a Rodgers, like a Breeze, or not? And that brings me to the next issues. Let's talk about some of the signings or releases. You know, Ed Reed, gone. Anquan Boldin, gone. Bernard Pollard, gone. Daniel Ellerbe, gone. You know, these guys are gone from the Ravens. Now, they did just get Dumerville, and I know K-Star had some thoughts about the signing of Dumerville to the Ravens. They did get Dumerville. They also got a guy that I know very well to come in there. Actually, a couple of guys that I know very well. Marcus Spears is now a Raven, and Chris Canty, who spent a few years in Dallas before going over to the Giants, is now a Raven. So they are trying to shore up their defense, but Anquan Boldin was huge for them, huge. And I don't know what they're going to do, you know, to fill that gap. And that's a lot of the reason why Flacco got the money he got is because of what Boldin did as a Raven. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen with this team next year. But let me ask K-Star. You had some thoughts on Dumerville being signed by the Ravens and not being retained by the Broncos. Share those thoughts with the fans.
Just to remind everyone, the reason why the Broncos lost Dumerville to begin with was because of a gaffe by his agent. The Broncos had given a deadline basically ordering him to take a pay cut or go explore, you know, free agency and see what your value is, and he believed it wouldn't pay you more than what your market value you believe is. And long story short, Dumerville accepted the pay cut 30 minutes prior to deadline, and the agent actually got it faxed over 6 minutes past the deadline, forcing the Broncos to release him, the NFL not honoring the request of word by agent and team, and now he's on the Ravens, and honestly it makes me sick for a couple of reasons. How fluky of an acquisition was that? You're telling me that because an agent is an idiot, now the Ravens all think Elvis Dumerville, like, that's okay? Like, it's ridiculous. It really is. But as far as the addition of Dumerville, I'm not even going to pretend that I like it at all. I mean, you know, the Ravens have given up a lot this offseason, but the acquisition, Dumerville, they still have a very good front seven just because they have Dumerville, Haloti Ngata, and, you know, Terrell Suggs. And they're a very good drafting football team, so I expect them to, you know, fill some of their holes and everything. But Dumerville's a very good picker. I just hate how fluke. I just can't believe how it happened. It makes me sick.
Wow.
Well, yeah. You know, I don't know, Train, if you looked, I actually did look into this. And apparently, you're right, K-Star, but the Broncos did still try, even though, you know, they had to release him, they still tried to re-sign him. And so they made the choice to go with Baltimore.
Yeah.
So they could have been, they still could have re-signed with Baltimore, with Denver. And they made a choice to go ahead and sign with Baltimore. So I don't know if Dumerville just thought that since the Broncos took so long to actually get him a contract, that meant that they really wasn't as interested as he thought they should be and decided it was time to move on. I don't know, but I don't know that I'm going to put all this on the agent, because Denver did make an effort to go ahead and re-sign him, and he decided to go ahead and go play with Baltimore. So I don't know.
No, I didn't really look into the details of the gaffe, but just on the whole him going to Baltimore, man, once a player hits free agency, you know, they have their choice. And, I mean, obviously he feels that, I mean, I would think most of these veterans, I mean, my mindset of if you're a veteran is that, you know, you would try to get with a team, definitely to try to, that would give you, you know, close to what you think you're worth, but at the same time with a team that you think is competitive and can basically make it to the big dance. And, you know, I mean, Dumerville's down there with the other linebacker, what's his name, Money Miller, that was killing in Denver. So I don't know. I mean, it's his choice. Maybe he thinks he has a better opportunity and in Baltimore to win it all because.
Well, John Elway's quote was, although we made multiple contract offers to Elvis after being forced to release him, we were unable to reach an agreement and are now moving forward without him. So, and apparently the Ravens were prepared to go after James Harrison if they couldn't get Dumervil. And I know somebody on this show would have had a fit if that had happened.
Yeah, buddy.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, I mean, the good thing is Broncos can still go after either Dwight Freeney or John Abram or OC.
Yeah, they got their. I think that's why they were able to let Dumervil kind of walk. And apparently, another reason why they couldn't resign was because that cut caused $4 million in dead cap space, meaning they couldn't actually afford him couldn't pay him the salary out of that, but I believe the other teams were offering for services because of the gap, so it was just a big, just something that kind of killed them there with the Dumervil race. But again, like Train said, they got, you know, Freeney or Abraham or OC on deck, so I'm sure they'll be okay opposite side, Von Miller.
Yeah, yeah. Overall, I don't think the Ravens are coming in as stacked as they were this year. Overall, and I know there's still time, but you know, I mean, let's talk about, to me, you know, I know the guys, I don't know, was he 30? But no, actually, was he 28 or 30? Ed Reed. I mean, how do you replace an Ed Reed? You know, I just, you know.
Yeah, that and that's funny. Like, let me tell you something, by the way. That makes me very happy that they lost him, because my concern was, well, if they keep Ed Reed, they still kind of have the whole veteran leadership. I guess swag. I hate to use that term, but I guess swag for that defense. But now that they lost him,
kind of he's 34. Yeah. I apologize. But anyway, guys.
Yeah, but still, you know, one of the best safeties, even still at that age of 34. So that to me was kind of their biggest loss. I'm a little surprised that they didn't try to pursue him a little heavier than what they did. But now the Texans have him, and I'm just happy he's not playing in Baltimore anymore. He was annoying.
I don't see how you lose both your safeties. I don't see.
Yeah.
Especially with Ed Reed, man. It's just, I don't get, I understand. I mean, now, I truly understand there is no loyalty in the NFL whatsoever, especially after what I've seen between Baltimore and Chicago. I don't want to go to Chicago because it's going to make me upset. You know what I'm saying? So I know it's on topic, but still, it's going to piss me off. But, Ray Lewis just retired, and in Ed Reed, you kind of keep some of that same leadership a little bit that has just left from Ray Lewis retiring. How do you not retain this dude for another year or two is beyond me when you know you're trying to make a run. And not only do you let him, you lose both your safeties. And your defense is supposed to be supposed to get better the next season? I don't see it. I see a lot of deep balls thrown on Baltimore. That's what I see.
Can we throw out to Mike Wallace? Oh, wait, we don't have Mike Wallace. Never mind.
Well, you know, but because I like when Train gets animated, let's talk about your Bears. you know, normally it's me and K-Star getting animated, but Let's talk about your Bears, Train. And so now is Urlacher released? Is he?
Urlacher's contract was up, so it wasn't a release or anything like that. His contract was up, and so it was a matter of just coming up with a new contract. Now I've been giving Phil Emery all kind of praise. I mean, he's done a pretty good job in my opinion of bringing in offensive weapons and trying to fill gaps here and there. I just don't understand how you lose or how you don't come to some kind of agreement with Urlacher. And the details of what I've understand is what happened is Urlacher and his agent, they approached the Bears with a 2-year, $11.5 million contract. And all this time, all you've been seeing in the papers is that they're still in negotiation. They're still in negotiation. But once, excuse my friends, once the shit hits the fan, that's not really the case. What happened is, at least from what Ehrlich and his agent has said, is that they made their offer. Chicago didn't come up with a counteroffer until the same day they decided to move on without Ehrlich. And their counteroffer was 1 year, $2 million. And then it was a more or less take it or leave it. And when his agent said no, you know, because Ehrlich didn't want to come back for that, what he considered small amount, well, within minutes, that's when they released the press without even calling to talk to Ehrlich or anything. Here's a guy for your franchise that has been the top next to Ray Lewis, middle linebacker in the league, has played lights out every season, definitely when healthy. And this is how you handle him, you know, once his contract is up. It just seems like there should have been a little bit more, just a little bit more personal conversation with this guy as far as how you handle or whether you're going to decide to move forward. And then he puts out that he would have came back for 3 or even 3.5. Now, I know Chicago is strapped against the salary, but considering in the position where you don't have someone to take, you don't have anyone that can step up and take his place, and there's no guarantee that the guys they picked up in free agency, DJ Williams or the other guy, Anderson, can step in and well, I think DJ Williams, who they got to replace him, but there's no guarantees he can do what Ehrlich does. Ehrlich prepares for the game like no other dude. It's like a, I mean, he's like the quarterback of the defense. He reads plays before the ball is snapped. So, I mean, to me, it's a big loss for Chicago. It pisses me off. What the hell am I supposed to do with my Ehrlich jersey? I have sleepers with Ehrlich's name on it.
You can put it next to my you can put it next to my Terrell Owens jersey. you know, let me just say this. I've struggled with this topic for years myself since Emmitt Smith was released by Dallas and went to go play for 2 years with the Arizona Cardinals. And I've struggled with the whole loyalty issue. And that's when I realized and accepted and came to terms with the fact that it doesn't exist. And the reason is because, you know, these guys are paid millions and millions and millions of dollars. And the point is, you are here to do your job. It's a job. You know, it's not a charity. It's not a social work organization. It's employment. And employment anywhere, even under contract, is still at will. And so at any point in time, your employer can decide, you know what, we are going to move in a different direction. And there is no reason to express it. Loyalty is an extra added benefit. It is value added when you find an organization that, you know, it says – we're going to be loyal and we're going to handle this a certain way out of respect for this individual. But don't expect it. Expect to be paid a good wage for what you're doing. And when that day ends, then you could either retire or you can go find another team that is willing to pay you a good wage for your job. And that's it. And apparently Baltimore has decided that Ed Reed at 34, we've gotten our money's worth, and we're gonna go ahead and pack up and move on. And Chicago's decided the same thing with a 34-year-old Brian Urlacher. And Green Bay apparently has decided the same thing with, I don't know how old Charles Woodson is off the top of my head, but I would guarantee that he's probably in the same age group of Urlacher and Ed Reed. And they've just decided to make the business decision to move on. And as fans, you know, we get attached to these players. Actually, Charles Woodson's 36. We get attached to them. So then they make plays, help us on our fantasy football teams and the such. And when it's time for them to move on, you know, it's like taking a piece of our heart because we are attached to that player. But as fans, we've got to remember, always first and foremost, the NFL is a business. And this is a job. And these guys have been well compensated over the years. Compensated for what they're doing. And when a team cuts bait, they cut bait. That's it. It's over. And we can still have loyalties towards that player, you know, as I did to T.O. and to Emmitt Smith and to other players that have left Dallas. We can still have loyalties towards them individually, but our heart's going to stay with that team. You know, you sit here training and say, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I know what you're going to do. You're gonna regroup, and you're gonna suck it up, and you're gonna focus in on who the new middle linebacker is, and you're gonna when he's doing well, you're gonna say, oh my God, look at how he's playing, and when he's sucking, you're gonna say, man, I wish we had Urlacher. But you're still
gonna
be a Bears
fan. Jersey now.
But you're still gonna be a Bears fan.
Yeah. That's,
you know.
Now on the flip side of that, you know, I say about anywhere between, I don't know, maybe about 20 to 25% of me wish Urlacher would have just took the $2 million. Because I look at it this way. When it came time to pay you, when it came time to give you that new contract because they knew what they had in you after your first, you know, after your whole rookie deal, they hit you with money. And then they also restructured to even give him more money, even from that contract. I believe that contract was really written up to be 8 years. And they restructured it after about 4 or 5 to even give him more money. So it's like, dude, I mean, really, from a part of me, from a point of view, it's like, hey, bro, it's $2 million. It's $2 million for you to come back to Chicago, make one more run, play with the same guys you've been playing with, and pretty much will probably be the same defense with a little bit of twitches here and there, and you finish your career with Chicago. Take the money. And just do it. Because you've been, like you said, you have been paid. You have been paid. And, you know, with a situation where Chicago is really tight up against the cap and having to try to make some upgrades on offense, it's like, dude, just come back.
Yeah, but what if he goes somewhere and he makes $5-6 million?
That's not happening.
I don't know.
Will be shocked if Urlacher is able to pull that money from anybody.
I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, everybody.
I would be shocked because
well,
if that
just,
was the case,
you, then if he then if he's not, then why are you upset that the Bears didn't try harder to retain him if he's not worth more than $1 million a year? I mean, that's chump change in the NFL.
Two million. It was $2 million for 1 year.
I mean,
the only reason I'm not as pissed as far as like giving him way more money, I mean, at least going up to maybe $5 million, because I knew where Chicago was against the cap, and I knew what kind of upgrades they had to make, and I knew what kind of players they had to try to bring back. So I knew it was going to be tight to actually pay Urlacher anywhere close to $5 million a year for this last year, because that's kind of what he was looking for. He's looking for sort of the same deal that Ray Lewis got. So,
do you know what he made in 2012?
No, I forgot that figure. I saw
$7.5 million.
Yeah.
So you're saying you understand that there's no loyalty from the NFL teams, but you want your guy to come back and take a 75% pay cut to stay with Chicago.
Dude, I want Urlacher to be a Bear. What do you want me to say? I'm a fan first. What do you want from me?
Well, you put it that way, there's no argument. I'm saying, looking at both sides from a business standpoint, I don't have a problem with what either side did from a business standpoint. I would not expect Urlacher to stick. If another team is going to pay him $2 million or $3 million, that's different. But the team that you just made $7.5 million with, and now you know they're restructuring to cut you a smaller check, I don't – got players just don't do that today. I mean, let me rephrase that. New contracts, and that's what we're looking at here. We're not looking at an existing contract that's being restructured for cap reasons. We're talking now a new contract. And if he thinks he's still worth, I mean, I agree, he's not going to get $7 million. I think he could find a place that might be willing to pay him, you know, 2 years, you know, base salary of $2-3 million, signing bonus of another $3 million. You know, I think that's very possible because, like you said, and I agree with you, other than Ray Lewis, he's been the best linebacker during his time, best middle linebacker during his time, and there are teams that will pay. You know, they'll pay for that. I mean, he's 34. If he passes the physical, you know, what was Ray Lewis? 37? 38? What can we get? Can we get 3 good years out of Urlacher? Probably.
I think you can definitely get 2.
No doubt.
I mean, because the guy comes back. I mean, the only other time Urlacher has been out, he went out for a year back in, like, I think Lovie Smith, like, second year as coach. Urlacher was gone for that whole year. Came back, dude was unfreaking believable. And this year he sat out 4 games, so he's going to come back, you know, very close to 100%, if not 100%.
Yeah. K-Star, we've been dominating the talk. Any comments?
I just thought it was kind of sad to see, like, such a staple player for a pretty respected franchise kind of go out the way in which he did. I mean, you can't really fault the owners, but as far as the whole money thing, but I will say is I still think, as you guys were also saying, that he probably has a little bit of football left in him, so I don't know if that was a wise football decision. Again, I understand from a business standpoint, but it's just sad to see. No, it really is. And, you know, he might actually end up winding back with him. This might just be a hard ball right now. Who knows? So until he signs with another team, train, I would just...
Oh, I keep hope alive. I really do. Keep hope alive. I was telling my cousin that last night. I like, until I see him go to another team or says he's retired, I'm just like, find some money. Get him back.
How would you feel if you went to Green Bay? That would be ridiculous. The Green Bay just swoops in on him.
Well, don't be surprised to see him right there in that division. No one's going to know him better than those division opponents that have seen him twice a year for the last several years. So happens all the time. So don't be surprised. Another big offseason acquisition and another head scratcher, but we'll see. Wes Welker, no longer a Patriot. He is now with Peyton Manning, and talk about moving from ideal to ideal. I mean, if you didn't play for arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, you're not going to go play for arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. I mean, you know, I mean, yeah, if you're Wes Welker, you got to be sitting over there, and for $2 million more than what you were making or what they offered you in New England. And certainly we know that. I mean, I'm sorry. I think Peyton Manning is every, you know, maybe he doesn't have a Super Bowl rings, but he's every bit as good as Tom Brady. I'm sorry. That's how I feel, and I'm going to stick to it. So, you know, I don't know. Let's start with Kate. This is your conference. You know, do you think that now we, you know, Dana, I happen to know a little bit about Danny Amendola because he was drafted by the Cowboys, and we had him for a couple of years, and he certainly turned into everything we thought he was going to turn into. But, you know, who's going to make out? Is Amendola going to be good enough to replace Welker? Or are we going to see Welker go over there and give the Broncos maybe just exactly what they need to become the dominant team in the AFC?
You know, I really actually believe that it's going to get the Broncos everything they need to be the dominant team in the AFC. Because as far as offensively goes, I mean, they have two very good receivers on the outside. You know, they have two pretty good running backs in Willis McGahee, and now no Sean Moreno with what he did at the last couple months of the season. And to have Wes Welker, to me, it just completes everything Peyton Manning really needs. You know, he had Dallas Clark in Indianapolis. He had a young Stokely at one point. But now the fact that he has Demaryius Thomas, an absolute machine out there with Welker in the slot, that's going to help him the run more than anything because they're going to double up on, you know, the outside guys. Welker's going to win that one-on-one matchup all the time. And as far as New England goes, you know, Danny Amendola is a good little carbon copy. The only problem is he can't stay healthy. And he couldn't stay healthy in St. Louis when his volume of work was nothing compared to Wes Welker's. So I do question how they'll actually be able to do it without Danny Amendola dying out there in the football field because, again, he's going to get the ball a lot. If he has a Wes Welker role, he's going to be a very featured guy, a very prominent guy. And, again, I just don't see him staying healthy for that, again, volume of production that the New England's going to demand from him. So to be the big winners here are absolutely Denver.
Train?
Dude, I don't. There's just certain things I will never understand. You know, for a guy as productive as Wes Welker, I don't even see why it's not a no-brainer to just bring him back and to expect Amendola to just come in and just be that complete replacement. I don't see it. It's a wait and see on that. I understand he's younger. I understand he has potential, but you knew what Wes Welker was doing, and he didn't get hurt. He was there 16 games, you know.
Yeah.
Every season, catching almost every single ball that came his way. No team has yet to figure out how to slow this dude down for real. They come up with different things. They even have multiple linebackers shadowing him within a zone just to try to keep Brady from throwing him the ball. And what do they do? They turn around and they bring in two tight ends. So now you got to cover Westbrook and two tight ends. It was an offense that no one had yet to even figure out how to copy or just completely shut down. Only way to completely shut down is just to get to Tom Brady. But now you let him go. You know what you had in him. 2 more years. I think the amount of money was just ridiculous. What, another $1 million? That's all you had to give him? You wasn't that strapped to the cap. And you bring him back, he just felt he was worth $6 million a year. I definitely think he's worth $6 million. And for some of the analysts I saw to, like, categorize him as, yeah, he's a slot receiver. What? He's a productive wide receiver. He gets the job done. I don't care where he is on the field. He gets the job done. They put him in the slot because he's most effective, and teams can't figure out how to stop it. It doesn't make sense to me, but hey,
gentlemen,
gentlemen,
yeah. allow me to go into my first T-bonics.
Oh, here you go.
Of the new season. Allow me to educate you both, because I disagree with both of you here. I think I think Denver made a good move. So I agree with K-Star. He said he thinks Denver, so I'm sorry. I agree with K-Star. Welker needed to go. This is not an Urlacher. This is not an Ed Reed. This is not a Charles Woodson situation. Welker needed to go. He had to go. There was no way he could stay with the Patriots. I'm going to tell you why. Now, I'm not. I understand the guy has averaged over 100 receptions a year. I get that. But there's two plays that we saw in the playoffs this year, one last year. Now, it happened last year against the Giants. Third down, drops the ball. Maybe Brady didn't make the perfect pass. Maybe he did. It's been debated all this season. Bottom line is Welker didn't make that play, and it did contribute to the Patriots not winning that Super Bowl. This year against the Ravens, conference championship game, similar situation, third down. That pass appeared to be a little bit better. Welker drops the ball. I'm sorry. Brady had no more confidence in him. If Brady had confidence in him, Welker would still be on that team, because Tom Brady would not have allowed Welker to have been released or been traded.
Not according to Kraft.
Not according to Kraft.
Let me tell you something.
Brady's lost Deion Branch as well, and Randy Moss. He has no say on that.
Let me tell you something. Brady is a company guy. Okay, and I respect that about him. But how many times has Deion Branch been back to the Patriots? What?
All I'm saying is the dude was very upset when Westbrook left. So I don't see that. I don't see that as being like, oh, well, he should have been back. He was already upset.
Because he should have spoke up in advance and said, whatever you guys do, I need Wes Welker. And he didn't do that. Now, after they made the decision, and now you want to be mad about it? Oh, well, you should have spoke up and said, this guy catches 120 passes from me a year, and you're going to trade him? You're going to let him go? He didn't do that. And
how
he
do you
should
know?
Have.
You know, I don't
researched
that
deal. He might have been talking about that. We really don't know that. We weren't there. I think he probably did go to bat for Westbrook. Why else did he, you know, do the restructuring and everything to create more cash for the Patriots, of course. But
Tom
Brady, when it happened – people thought it was for Wes Welker money.
No history of going to bat for his players. There's no history of that. Yeah, he may speak after the deal is done, but there's no history of Tom Brady going out and saying, yes, we need to keep him. Yes, he's an integral part of our offense. Yes, he is extremely valuable, and we need to do anything possible to make sure this guy stays on the team. He doesn't do it. Why? Because he's a company guy. Doesn't want to rock.
I don't think you can sum up Wes Welker's career and reason for leaving over two passes. I don't agree with that.
Well, he's
because,
gone.
I mean, there are several reasons why you lose a game.
Wait a minute.
And just for that
just,
one pass.
Just said they had the money, $1 million a year, most productive wide receiver they've had in the last 5 years, then why is he gone? does anyone really think that Amendola's going to walk in off the street and be Wes Welker? Could he become Wes Welker? K-Star is absolutely right. Guy's got to stay healthy first. Could he become Wes Welker? Maybe. But how many players walk in off the street, even with Tom Brady as their quarterback, and can catch 120 passes? So if it wasn't those two plays, then why is he gone? Because it wasn't money.
Okay, I mean, they did make him an offer now, because it's not like they didn't try to get him back. They just didn't think he was worth $6 million a year.
Went somewhere.
More like $5 million a year.
Right. Went and got $6 million. You really think that was a difference in his mind? Or could it be how long it took them to make him an offer? And could that be because of the two plays?
No.
You guys always doubt me. Just like we talked about the read option. Y'all doubted me, and now you see what I'm saying about the read option. I'm trying to tell you guys that in big games, let me tell you why T.O. is not in the league anymore. Because in the one preseason game that he went deep and he was wide open, he dropped the ball. That was it. It was done. Bye-bye. If you can't, at 37, 38 years old, still running a 4.3 40, and you can't go deep and catch the ball, there's no other role for you in this league. Bye, you're out of here. Wes Welker did it 2 years in a row, a third down play in a critical time, and I'm not saying he's not talented, not that he's going to do very well with Peyton Manning, but his time in New England had come to an end. And yeah, they made the customary, hey, yeah, let's throw some money away, see if we can keep you, because he's productive. But they didn't go out of their way. They didn't battle to keep him. They didn't make a big stink about trying to keep him.
According to the stories that were released, Wes Welker went and found what he thought he was worth. Before he took the deal from Denver, this is according to what they released, he went back to the Patriots. He went back to the Patriots with that offer and say, hey, this is what this team plans on paying me. Thought y'all going to match it.
During the season, Welker was quoted repeatedly as saying he wants a long-term deal with the Patriots. And the Patriots would not respond. They did not react. Repeatedly, he was looking for an extension, renegotiation, a contract. Patriots didn't do anything until the season was over. He wanted that guarantee during the season. The Patriots did nothing. I'm telling you, they had lost confidence in this guy. They were waiting to see. They had won a Super Bowl since 2004.
It's not because of Wes Welker.
I'm saying is that the combination of players that they have on this team have not produced a Super Bowl since 2004, Super Bowl win since 2004. They said, let's see what happens. Because last year, Wes Welker dropped a key third down play that could have helped us win this game. And he didn't beat it. Let's see what happens this year. And he's saying, I'm ready. I'm here. I want to stay a Patriot. Sign me. And they're saying, hey, hold on. Let's just see what happens. But, guys, I'm catching 8-10 balls a game. Sign me. I'm doing it for you. Well, let's just see what happens. But, guys, I'm healthy. I'm out here playing injured. I'm still productive. Sign me. Well, let's just see what happens. And in the championship game against the Ravens, similar situation pops up, and he drops the ball.
One pass. Wow. One pass. His whole career with New England is going down for one pass.
I don't agree with that. I think if anything, the Patriots might not have liked Wes Welker much because lately he's been causing a little bit of rifts in the media and stuff like that with some of the comments he's made about his contract. I mean, they did the same thing with Randy Moss. They were traded Randy Moss when he said one word about his contract. And then the whole Rex Ryan foot thing and all that good stuff he got in trouble for. I mean, you know, he's been a great player for the Patriots, but he also has caused Bill Belichick, some headaches in, you know, New England. So I think if anything, might have something to do with that, maybe a locker room type thing. Otherwise, I'm not sure what.
Remember, in the NFL, we don't pay for what you've done. We pay for what we think you're going to do. So the fact that he's been a great player, he was paid for that. That's what he was already paid for. You know, he was paid to be a great player, and he produced. He was very productive. But Train, don't underestimate what I'm saying, brother. I'm trying to drop a little bit of T-Bonics on you early.
And I'm just saying, from what I read, from my own perception, from my own research, the guy went out, he found his value, he brought it back. They didn't want to bring him back for the value that another team was getting ready to pay him. And even, I mean, you're saying this whole Tom Brady point of view, but Kraft goes on publicly and just says it. Look, I don't work for Tom Brady.
Of course he has to say that because people like me are saying, you know, bringing up what Tom Brady is doing or isn't doing. And, of course, Kraft's going to come out there and say that. Of course he is. But, you know, if the Patriots really wanted to keep him, they would have made a more aggressive move during the season, which is what he was looking for, and they didn't do that. And once the season ended, of course, hey, you know what? Now if I can go out there and get more money, I'm going to go get it. But the trust was gone. The relationship was damaged. And so he needed to move on. You know, and Wes Welker, of course he's going to say, well, you know, I mean, I got more money here, and, you know, I get to play with Peyton Manning. And you know what, though? It could I'm giving you my opinion. Would have been the same money. He still would have went to Denver. The relationship was damaged. And part of it, unfortunately, is Welker not making those big plays. Because, yeah, those plays matter. And when teams go back and relook at film and look at opportunities that they have, and there's a key play. I mean, I'm sorry. I think Tony Romo is still paying for the botched field goal attempt against Seattle back in 2006. He's still paying for that. So, yes, one play can damage someone's career. He's still paying for that play. So, you know, it happens. So
okay, but that play has nothing to do with his performance at quarterback from that point on.
And who you preaching to choir? But people still talk about it. When they talk about it, that's the first play that's talked about is him botching the snap against Seattle in the playoffs because that was his job and he couldn't do it. So they still talk about it. They still talk about 07 against the Giants and throwing an interception the last play of the game. You know, unfortunately, there are things that players do. You know, look at Phillip Rivers, right? You know, and look at, you know, some of the play. I can't remember. There's a particular play that he did when he had his torn ACL, and people still talk about it. Jay Cutler, right? Still talk about the fact that he didn't go back into the game a couple of years ago when he was hurt. You know, sometimes it only takes a play and then you get targeted. And I'm telling you, Welker needed a new start. He needed a new start, and I think he's going to do fine over there, you know, with Peyton Manning, but he better not drop no balls. Because we know Peyton Manning ain't going to play that.
Well, I guess from just my last words, what I'm looking for is the fact they went after Amendola. So if Amendola can't produce like Wes Welker was, to me, it's a step back. And so that's why I say it's a wait and see on Amendola.
Well, they still have Gronkowski and Hernandez, and that's still been very difficult for teams to stop. They did let go of Brandon Lloyd, so. You know, but I mean, I think with that team, I don't know. I still don't. I'm not as worried as much about their offense as I am about their defense. Tom Brady still manages to throw 4,000 to 4,500 yards a year. He still will get his, you know, at least 30 touchdowns. And, you know, he's still going to be Tom Brady. You know, and we've seen movable parts come in. But to me, I think the defense is in question because you're playing in a conference with defenses like Baltimore, like Pittsburgh, like Denver, and the Patriots just have not had that dominant defense in a while, and it could be why they haven't, you know, won a Super Bowl since 2004.
Definitely a reason why they haven't won the Super Bowl since 2004.
And they re-signed our local guy, can never pronounce his last name, but Nico. but he's actually from Connecticut. His actually father owns a restaurant about 5 minutes from my house. And well, congratulations to him still being in the NFL and re-signed by the Patriots. They re-signed to leave for 1 year, so that'll help their defense. And we'll see. We'll see what happens on offense. Let's shift gears a little bit and go to K-Star's team. As I scratch my head a little bit, K-Star, let's talk about your Steelers and let's talk about. Well, I know that you must have been very saddened to see Mike Wallace go. Talk to us a little bit about You know, I believe you guys are keeping Plaxico for another year.
Yes.
Wallace is gone, and, of course, James Harrison is gone. You know, Wallace was your speed guy. Harrison was pretty much everything. What are your thoughts on that?
As far as Mike Wallace goes, I'm going to miss Mike Wallace and his production. However, he's not a top five receiver in the NFL, and he's getting paid like he's the top three. He's the third best receiver in the NFL.
Exactly.
He's getting paid $60 million a year. I mean, not a year, but he's a $60 million contract, which is pretty ridiculous. So obviously, we couldn't match that. There's just no way it's going to happen. Miami opened up their pocketbooks. And, you know, I love Mike Wallace. He's one of my favorite players. But I will say that through the years, Pittsburgh let receivers walk. They've traded them, only to end up replacing them. I mean, Plaskett Burress, 15 years ago, or I'm sorry, not 15 years ago, 10 years ago, they let him walk too, and they replaced him with a guy named Santonio Holmes. He did pretty well for us, went to a 1VP 1 year. You know, and when we lost Santonio Holmes, we found Mike Wallace. So this Steelers will be in place for a receiver goes. They draft pretty well. James Harrison is, I think, a locker room loss more in this point, in this stage of his career. He was a guy who had problems staying healthy. For us, you know, he barely played. I think he played about 7 games last year. But, you know, when he was on the field, he was very productive. I'm kind of where Train is with the whole Brian Urlacher thing, with Harrison goes. Just kind of waiting and seeing because he's still a free agent. I think that Harrison had thought he's worth more in the market than what he really is because the Steelers offered him $7 million to stay, and he said no. So he's not completely gone, but, man, I'm going to tell you how I feel this year after this draft because I really got to see what we're going to do. We still might sign Ahmad Bradshaw, apparently, in free agency. You know, I'm sure we'll replace James Harrison through the draft. I'm just kind of waiting and seeing. The one good thing, though, is there's the AFC North, the Steelers, and the Ravens. You know, the Ravens kind of blew their team up a little bit, so this isn't as bad as it could have been for us. You know, it would have been a really bad year had we done it, had the you know, Ravens been stocking up, and meanwhile they're just constantly trying to reload. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think it's early for your team. I don't really have many thoughts. I was a little surprised they let Mendenhall go because he's still pretty young. I know he's had some injuries, mm-hmm. but you know, I thought, you know, I mean. I don't know. I thought that he would still have a significant role if healthy on your team, but I guess not. And, you know, Harrison, I mean, you know, same thing, pretty much the same conversation we've had with some of the other players. You know, just it's time and, you know, we'll see where he ends up. I know a team out in Texas that certainly wouldn't mind signing him. But unfortunately, well, we'll talk about the Cowboys in a minute. Yeah, I mean, you know, answer me this. Why bring Plaxico back for another year?
Well, for one, Big Ben.
Because he's
really
cheap?
Yeah,
exactly.
He's playing for a veteran minimum, first of all. Ben really loves Plaxico Burress. I guess just the lankiness and the height of him. My anticipation his role for the Steelers this season will be a red zone specialist and like a fourth receiver. And for a veteran minimum salary and a guy who was drafted here, played here for a number of years, I'm happy with it because I think he's going to catch some touchdowns and be fairly productive in his role with the Steelers. And again, Big Ben likes him. A happy Big Ben makes me happy because Big Ben wasn't happy last year and we saw how that went for us. So,
does the signing of Bruce Gradkowski mean that Batch and Leftwich will not be re-signed?
Yes. From what my understanding is, the Steelers are also looking to draft a quarterback in the drafts. My anticipation would not be in the first couple of rounds, obviously, but they're looking to improve there because that was a concern for us last season when we lost Big Ben. We had a little bit of dip in play at the quarterback position, stayed at one game. Right. We definitely had a dip in production there. So Bruce Gradkowski is, you know, solid backup. Better than what we have with 37-year-old player. We'll see what happens in the draft.
I wouldn't go so far as to say solid. I mean, he all right.
Right.
I mean, right. Yeah, solid's a little strong. I mean, I guess we'll see. I don't know how much better he'll be. I mean, I think Leftwich was just done. I honestly think Batch played a little bit better, but both of them
yeah.
were pretty. But both of them, you know, as far as could they come in for a quarter or two? Yeah, but you know, two or three games, neither one of them had it in them to do that anymore. Wow. Maybe Gradkowski. Yeah. I don't know. I've never been overly impressed with him either, but you know, we'll see. I guess you're right. If they go in the draft, they can get a decent quarterback. But you know, I think next year, if you know, unfortunately, while Big Ben is very tough, he does get injured. And I wonder who you guys have that can come in for a game or two, you know, if he pulls a hamstring or whatever, you know, who do you guys have that can come in and carry the load for a game or two? And right now, I don't even know if Gradkowski's that guy, but I guess we'll see.
If you want a healthy Big Ben, you better solidify the offensive line. That's pretty much what you that's pretty much how you
yeah.
at least start to fixing that. And as far
that's
as Mike Wallace is concerned, he stole money. With Harrison being gone, they, you know, to me, it's just they lose some nastiness on defense. That's what I see. The dude is pretty nasty, you know, and he plays his same speed regardless of how much money Goodell wants to take away from him. He's still coming out to play the same. Can't do nothing but respect that. Football is football. But, yeah, Wallace stole money. He's definitely not worth what he's receiving. Now he's being paid like he's a top receiver. And what happens when you get thrown in the number one receiver spot is poor Devin Hester figured out that you play against the number one corners all the time. Wallace was able to make some of the plays. But let me say this. Wallace was able to make some of the plays he made because of Big Ben. Okay?
Right.
That guy's ability to keep plays alive while in the backfield and then get it to his open men. Okay? He hasn't had one just great outstanding season in Pittsburgh. He's a speedster. That's about it.
He was pretty productive. You actually, if you look at his numbers, he was actually surprisingly more productive than you'd think he would be. He had a 1,300-yard season. You know, he's led the team in touchdowns. He actually, since 2009, has the most touchdowns of any player in the NFL or any receiver from that draft. Not the NFL, sorry, from that draft, which included Akeem Nicks and several other guys. But, the fact of the matter is he's not a top-five receiver. Let's not get it twisted. The guy, as Mike Tomlin had said, is a one-trick pony, pretty good pony. But,
yeah.
You know, again, he's about to play with a very young, raw quarterback with Ryan Tannehill. And he's not going to get, like I said, those freebie plays in the back of the end zone for Big Ben running around, like, you know, from Tannehill, which we don't anticipate that. Maybe he is. Maybe Tannehill's really nice. We'll see. But it definitely stole some money there.
Yeah. Mind you, young quarterback, and he's going to a team where he's going to play across from who, Brian Hartline?
Yeah.
Who probably got most of his yards in two games. Just saying, stole money.
So we move on to and by the way, if anybody wants to call in, the number has not changed. 347-838-9525 347-838-9525 Just going through some of the free agency moves out there. Going to talk about one more team, then switch gears and talk about some other things NFL related. But of course, we would be remiss if we didn't take a minute to talk about my Cowboys. And it really is not a lot to talk about. I have really not much to say. I'm waiting to see what they're going to do. I have not seen a splash yet. The one surprise is they released Sensabaugh. They re-signed him in the end of 2011, and now they decided to release him. I'm not really sure why. I thought maybe with Woodson or Reed out there that they may go and try to get a veteran in that position. I thought Ed Reed would be great in Dallas, bring him in for two or three years, but that didn't happen. I don't think they have any interest in Woodson. He's a little bit older. So I don't know. There are some younger safeties that had injuries that they're thinking might be able to play in that role. But I don't know. The safety's been such a problem in Dallas since the retirement of Darren Woodson. And, you know, and even when Roy Williams was there, I mean, he had a couple of good years, and then he just couldn't cover the deep pass for nothing. So I don't know what Dallas is going to do at safety. I thought they had finally gotten a little bit of comfort there. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. Still got Danny McRae, who's not bad. They re-signed Ernie Sims, who they pretty much signed off the couch last year and actually surprised them and became a pretty good player before getting injured. So middle linebacker with Sims and with Sean Lee. They should be in pretty good shape. They've franchised Anthony Spencer one more time. He played really well last year, so I'm okay with that. But, you know, I just, you know, John Phillips is gone, tight end, no big deal. Dan Connor kind of really was no room. I think Sims came in and kind of outplayed Connor, brought him in as a veteran last year, but then they, you know, with all the injuries, you know, Connor played well, but there's really no room for him. You know, and some of the other players that are sitting on the fence right now, Mike Jenkins, he will not be in Dallas next year. He's unrestricted free agent. He's gone. Felix Jones will not be in Dallas next year. He's gone. Kevin Ogletree, unrestricted free agent, will not be in Dallas next year. He's gone, I can assure you. Victor Butler, defensive end linebacker, will not be in Dallas next year. He's gone. These are guys that have played several years with Dallas and had some level of production. Mike Jenkins was a first-round draft pick. Felix Jones was a first-round draft pick. These guys are gone. So I'm going to wait and see what Dallas does the rest of free agency and also in the draft. But right now, there's no splash. There's nothing for me to hold on to and say, oh, wow, what a move. I'm sitting here like, okay, anytime now, guys. Anytime.
So, well, from my understanding, what's really hurting Dallas is cap. They really don't have the room to make a splash. So trying to keep your own is tough. And then from what I've seen from most of the players that they've released, you know, they really wasn't getting the productivity that they needed from the season before. So to me, it looks like it's the draft for them, and they still got quite a few key pieces that are still there.
Well, I mean, they certainly have cap issues, but they've restructured some contracts. What the hell? They've restructured some contracts, so they have some cap room. You know, and as far as productivity goes, I mean, I think Gerald Sensabaugh was pretty productive, and yet he's gone. I mean, you know, Dan Connor was a backup, so not really an issue there. And as far as the free agents go, yeah, I mean, Jenkins, I personally think that they should keep Jenkins, but they're not going to be able to afford to keep him. You know, but with the injuries they've had at cornerback last year, Jenkins came in and played injured and played well injured, but they're not going to be able to – they can't afford him. First-round draft pick, and he's going to command some decent money somewhere. I mean, if Pac-Man Jones is still playing in this league, then we're going to see Mike Jenkins turn up somewhere and get really good money. So draft, we'll see. I still think they need to do something in free agency. I still think there's enough players out there, and particularly since they're changing defenses, and it looks like they're going to be going Tampa 2 and going 4-3. They don't have a 4-3 scheme right now. They don't have three players right now. So I'm going to wait and see. Still early, so I'm going to wait and see. All right, let's a couple of other issues before we get out of here. Train had brought up something that I had actually had a conversation with somebody else about, Michael Vick being threatened during the book signings, and Train, I guess, had wanted to comment on this, asking what else can this guy do. So, Train, what are your thoughts on Michael Vick still getting hammered?
Honestly, man, like, the dude was convicted. He was convicted. He served his time. I take more of a my viewpoint is for him to come back and be able to get his career. To me, that's just an act of God. That's just my point of view on it. For someone to go through what he went through, because he got convicted, he served the time. I mean, he went to jail. But you're mad because he's able to come back, get his career, and then on top of that, he can't necessarily right his wrong, but he's doing everything that he can, that within his power, to try and, you know, make people aware that what he did was wrong and that it won't ever happen again. But you have these crazy people out here who thinks dogs are humans when they're dogs, who's still attacking this dude. For what reason? You mad because he got his life back? Really? That makes absolutely no sense.
So let me ask you a question. Are you an animal lover?
Animal lover.
That means no. If you got to think about it.
No, yeah.
K-Star, are you an animal lover?
Absolutely. And I'm offended when you said it's just a dog. You need to watch your mouth, bro.
It is
a dog very much. I'm aware it's a dog.
Badass. That's what he came on earth. That's what he was born into this world as, a dog. Whatever you want to use your dog for, that's what you use your dog for. But it's still a dog at the end of the day.
So K-Star, K-Star, as an animal lover, do you feel the same as Train, or do you feel differently? Because you are also a football fan and an animal lover. What do you think?
I mean, as far as actual Michael Vick standpoint goes, I agree with him. He's really done everything he was able to do, that he was capable of doing. If you went above and beyond, I'm actually a bit of a Michael Vick fan. You know, I don't know what more he can really do at all at this point. And for him to get treated like that is kind of ridiculous. You know, he did his time. He fought back and made himself relevant again in football. And, again, you know, he's done more than what he's asked to do. And it's not like he's gotten away with anything from what I can tell. It's not like anyone is aware of evil wrongdoing he's doing. He seems like he genuinely has changed. And I am proud of Michael Vick. And it's really sad to see him treated that way. But as far as Train goes, relax, bro. Dogs are very important to people's families.
Still a dog.
You're coming off a bit insensitive. I don't care.
At the end of the day, you're still referring to it as a dog. You haven't called it anything other than a dog. This is my whole point. And another thing, as far as these fans like being upset, why don't you get mad at Goodell? Goodell let him back. Goodell said, hey, it's okay. You've done your time. You can come back. You're reinstated. Why aren't they sitting threatening notes to Goodell? All Vic did was take the opportunities that were set before him.
Is it my turn?
It is.
All right. I am an animal liker, not an animal lover. Over the last year of my life, because back during last season, a couple of times she actually listened to the show. I am 100% convinced she's no longer listening to the show. But that's not a bad thing. It's fine. But this person was a part of my life and had a dog and a cat. And I grow to truly love the dog and the cat. And actually, it's funny because I recently, and it's a long story, you guys have to ask me off the air, but got to see the dog and the cat again and felt a warmth from them that was very interesting, because it was clear to me, although I had not seen them in months, they knew who I was, and they don't get along, the dog and the cat, but they both came to me wanting acknowledgement and warmth. And it was really, as one who didn't grow up on animals, it was really interesting to me. It was a different experience for me, and I got to kind of understand a little bit about loving your animals and the love that an animal can give you. So I say that to say that the negativity out there are from those people that have those feelings for their animals, like maybe myself and Train, and maybe even a little bit, maybe not even K-Star, I don't know. It's just another level of love where they do feel like their animals are members of their family, where they do let their animals sleep in their bed with them and that kind of stuff. And I don't judge it. That's how they live, and that's for them to feel. And so they have that affection for their dog or their cat or whatever like it's a member of the family, okay? And so that's where this negativity is coming from. That said, though, I do have a problem with not accepting the fact that the man has due to society, that any man has paid his due to society. I would have this. I had the same argument with people about O.J. Simpson, okay, who is now in jail, but he got acquitted for the double murder. Okay, he was in jail for 400 and something days, and he got acquitted. Using our system, he was shown to be not guilty. Now, everyone has their own opinion on whether he really did it or not. Doesn't matter. He went through our system of jurisprudence and was acquitted of those crimes and should have been allowed to go out and live a normal, productive life, and was not, okay? And the same thing we can say about Michael Vick to a point is he was convicted, okay, and then later it confessed to doing it and went to jail for 18 months and lost millions and millions and millions of dollars and has regrouped, recommitted, rededicated his life, and 3 years later is still going around. When the cameras are off and the focus is no longer on him. He is still out there doing the work that he feels needs to be done. He don't have to do it, but he's still out there speaking to people about animal cruelty and all of that. And so the guy writes a book about his life and wants to make some money, which he deserves, and they're protesting. I don't agree with it at all. I don't agree with it at all. We have to stop in this country feeling like we can be above and beyond the system. If you don't like our system, do one of two things. Either leave, go live somewhere else, or do something that that can change the system, because that's what government is all about. That's what elected officials are all about. And I bet most of the people that are out there protesting don't even vote. And that's how you get your voice heard. If you don't like the system that's out there and you think that Michael Vick did not get the full punishment, well, it's not his fault. So why are you out there trying to punish him and his family and his loved ones? Leave him alone. He did his time. He is now living a straight, clean life. Leave him alone. Move on. And I'll say this to all the animal rights people out there. Who better to fight for your cause than a superstar NFL athlete like Michael Vick? So even if you don't like him, even if you think he should not be playing in the NFL, leave him alone, because his visibility is generating hundreds of thousands, dare I say millions of dollars, for your cause. So get over it. Use him then. But leave him alone. Leave him alone. All right.
My only last thought on this is that all these folks getting mad at Vick, they just need to know that dog fighting is still going on somewhere.
Yeah.
I just thought they might want to know that it's still happening. Vick ain't doing it no more though, but it's happening somewhere. So you want to do something, investigate that.
Yeah. But I mean, I mean, with all due respect, Trent, I don't think that's their point. Their point is,
their point is to hate. That's about it.
Yeah. Their point is they feel that this guy should not be in a position to make millions of dollars after what he's done. That's their position. And I don't agree with it, obviously. I think he's done everything that he should do. And let's move on. Let's move on. So I agree with you on that, Train, and even you as well, K-Star. But I do understand. And again, I didn't grow up with animals, okay? And anybody in my life will tell you, T doesn't have any pets. But I'll tell you, my experiences over the last year with animals has opened my eyes, even to the point where I'm actually thinking about getting either a dog or a cat or something. I'm actually thinking about it, to be honest with you. I have a different take on it. But they won't be sleeping in my bed. That's all I got to say. Okay. quickly, rule changes.
Oh, wow.
We could not end the show without talking about the rule changes. The Tuck rule is gone. Okay, let me just – I'm going to start this one. I'm going to start – I think it's the most ridiculous rule in the first place. I'm glad it's gone. What? He wasn't throwing it, but he was trying to throw it. But then the ball didn't go, and it didn't go to the right angle. So no, that's the Tuck. What? Not to mention, you couldn't have if depending on who you got as a ref was the complete judgment call of whether it was a forward pass or not. He released it, and it was the Tuck. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. I fully agree. Get rid of it. Explain to me what the Tuck rule is. Don't bother. Because you ask any two referees and you're going to get two different explanations. Get rid of it. Glad it's gone. Train, you brought it up. You sent it to me. What do you think?
Man, all I'm saying is they just pulled most salt on Oakland Raiders fans' wound with that one. Because first you put it in, then you got to try to clarify it, okay, and now you take it out. So Raiders fans are still hot off the Patriots' first bowl win as in – you could have did this 10 years ago, 10, 12 years ago. We'd have been okay then. Stupid, man. It's stupid.
Okay, Star?
Ball comes out of your hand, it's a fumble, period.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm glad it's gone. I think it was funny, though, that my Steelers were the only team that voted to keep it. That, to me, was just kind of giving the big F you to Oakland. We still hate your ass. immaculate reception for the win at Beal. I think that was just a message sent across to the Bay Area there. But, yeah, I mean, it didn't really belong. It was kind of just ridiculous. You know, actually, against the Giants this year, we had a quote-unquote tuck rule. Actually, we didn't get the tuck rule. We just got some random fumble, which pissed me off anyway, because, like, the whole point of having a tuck rule is, you know, for it to be interpreted in such a fashion. But as you said, so many refs have different views on it that it just became inconsistent, and so it became maddening. So I'm glad that now it's gone. So now if Big Ben is the fumble next year, at least I won't be as upset. I mean, I'll still be upset, at least not like, okay, well, you know what, we got robbed because that was a tuck rule type, you know, touchdown. So I'm okay with it.
The other rule, the running backs can't use a helmet outside the tackle box. I guess this is another concussion prevention rule. I don't know the background of this rule. Train, what do you know about it?
Well, from my understanding is that once they are outside the tackle box, you know, once they've cleared the tackle box, they're not allowed to use their helmets to, you know, spear a defender or, you know, lead with their helmets to gain ground. And, you know, while we were sitting up here having all the conversation about free agency, I'm watching NFL Network and I'm looking at, like, so many different runs where the running back had used his helmet. And in a lot of those cases, how do you expect a running back not to use his helmet to protect himself when you got defenders coming in with their helmets? You got tacklers leading with their helmets, and and that's even outside of the tackle box. I don't see how they're going to enforce this. I mean, there's going to be a lot of pissed off fans. I mean, I can see it now, 15, you know, 20-yard run being called back for what has been considered football for years. Now, you have mixed reviews from some old-school runners and definitely people that have, you had, you know, Marshall Faulk's opinion, but you had some people, I think it was it Jim Brown, I think, they were saying that, you know, they should be able to adapt to it. But, you know, it's I just from looking at the stuff I see on NFL Network, I see it to be tough for that adjustment to be made. When you have defenders coming at you, you know, leading with their helmets, how do you protect yourself? You're not trying to take a blow to the body that's going to take you out of the game.
Well said. Any additional comments, K-Star, on that one?
Just that, tell a man like Adrian Peterson, he was doing it wrong last year. At any given point, to me, it's preposterous. And it's ridiculous. It's sad, and I'm not really sure. You know, the NFL tried to sugarcoat it by saying that, you know, oh, you know, it's not as bad as you guys think it'll be. Won't be called very frequently. But here's the thing. What the NFL tells officials to do is err on the side of caution for the players. They're definitely going to call it. If it's a 50-50, that flag's coming out. If he's a crown helmet, I already know that's going to happen because they do it all the time with a helmet to their head. You see a lot of big hits that are already helmet to the helmet-to-helmet contact, but they get called it anyway just because they're erring on the side of caution. That's what they've been instructed to do. So, a little worried about it. But honestly, the reason why all this is happening, and I've been thinking about it, is because the ex-players keep suing the NFL. And to protect themselves, what the NFL is doing is now going to try and show they're taking progressive manners in which to make the game safer so that these frivolous lawsuits stop it. So they're getting hit by them. So I think it's kind of the domino effect, unfortunately, of all that stuff taking place. And this is where we're at right now. It's going to keep kind of happening this way.
Well, newsflash, NFL, you change the rule now, it's not going to stop the retired players from suing you. So that logic is ridiculous, number one. Number two, does anybody ask the NFL Players Association? I mean, I know the owners, you know, set the rules and make the rules. Most of these owners never played football. They've never played the game. So I don't understand why owners are controlling the rules on the field to guys that, you know, you've never played this game. And if you played, maybe you played in high school, maybe, you know, some low level, but you've never played the NFL, as we all know, it's a violent physical game. I don't have a problem with them doing things that are going to protect the players. I don't have a problem with that at all. but talk to the guys on the field and make sure that it makes sense. This rule, and Train said it, I can't say it any better than Train said, makes no sense. I get out into the open field, a guy's coming at me, I can't put my head down and protect myself? Oh, I can put my shoulder down and I got to keep my head up? Well, that means I'm going to have a broken neck. I don't get it. I don't get it. When I did my personal interest story a couple few weeks ago, I talked about Goodell and people talking about the great job he's done, and I said, you sure? You know, we've had player strike, we have ref strike, we've had dissension in the Players Association, we've got lawsuits, we've got, you know, the only thing that hasn't happened that he's definitely afraid of is someone dying on the field. And he was interviewed recently by ESPN, and that's his biggest fear, is someone dying on the field. Don't think that that wasn't something that he didn't, and again, we understand he works for the NFL owners, but if someone dies on the field, this is a black mark to him and to the league and to the owners. So I just think that I understand that concussions are a big issue. I understand about the lawsuits. I just don't know that watering down the league is the answer. And this, to me, is another attempt to water down the league. And now I'm going to be curious, like a running back like Maurice Jones-Drew, you know, small 5'8" guy, runs like a bowling ball. And how is this guy going to run now with this new rule? You know, and what do you, and as K-Star said, what's going to happen? These guys getting 25, 30-yard run, but they stuck their head down, whoop, flag, bring it back for the thing that they've been doing their whole career? I just don't get it sometimes with our NFL. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. But I guess we'll see. Last one. I didn't even look into this at all. I don't know if Train got a chance to look into the Pro Bowl pickup game.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to search for the article because when I originally read it, I didn't really see any details about the whole whether they're supposed to have like a pickup of players. I mean, I couldn't find the article to really look into it on exactly how they plan on changing how the players are chosen, which seems a bit odd. I'm not quite sure.
Fancy draft is what they're talking about, like type of setting maybe to mix it up.
Finish it. So, I mean, from what you've read, what did you find? Because
I still didn't
find any details on that.
Let's check this out. Under the pickup game concept, team captains would be appointed, and they would be involved in picking the players for their teams. That selection process could be involved in a television show a week or so prior to the Pro Bowl. Goodell added that the system for choosing the players won't change, but some consideration has been given to having team captains select their rosters rather than an AFC versus NFC format. Well,
okay.
The pull from the past year we talked about was Peyton Manning picks one team and Eli Manning picks the other team. So they've also talked about rotating the sites of the game, such as Phoenix, New Orleans, Miami, and I said possibly the new stadium in Puerto Rico. It's still being talked about. It's not even. I mean, the only thing we know is that there will be a Pro Bowl. So to me, I'll be honest with you guys. I would just assume do away with the whole Pro Bowl and change it to – but let me be clear. Change it to a skill contest. You can't be like the NBA and not have LeBron James in a dunk contest, okay?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I want to know who is the fastest man in the NFL, for instance. And so I want to see Mike Wallace and Chris Johnson and, you know, RG3. And, you know, I want to see these guys. I want to see the fastest NFL players, you know, who has the strongest arm in the NFL. So let's put, you know, Peyton Manning and you know, Ben Roethlisberger and all, you know what I mean? I want to, but not the backups, you know what I'm saying? Who has the best hands in the NFL? I want to see Chris Johnson and Larry Johnson and, you know, these guys, you know, doing hand catches and drills and see, you know, to me, that would be more interesting to me than the game that has degenerated over the last few seasons. Pro Bowl used to be a great game. Last year was a little bit better because there was a lot of pressure, but it's still not like watching a true blue NFL game. It's not.
No.
So to me, get rid of it. If these guys can't go out and play and not be worried about getting injured, then get rid of the game and substitute it with a skills contest, but make sure the stars are there. And then
they used to have a bit of a skills challenge along with the Pro Bowl game. And I think they took that away maybe, what, about a good 3 years back? Three, four years back?
A while ago. Yeah, a while ago.
It's been a while, yeah. But to me, they can do that in place of, but make sure you have the top stars there. And I think people will tune in. I mean, would you guys tune in to see who is legitimately the fastest man in the NFL?
I would.
I would.
I don't want them to take it out of Hawaii, though, because I want to go 1 year. And if it's in the States, I'm not going. I don't feel point for going to the States. I want to go to Hawaii.
Aren't you?
Huh?
You're a little closer now, you punk ass.
Oh, don't hate, T. Just go with me.
So, all right, guys. Any final thoughts? K-Star, any final thoughts?
No, there's still, again, some interesting free agents still available. I'm looking forward to seeing where they land. Darrell Revis possibly could be traded. We didn't really go over that, but that's been floating around for a little bit. So I mean, Freeney, you know, John Abraham, Alon Bradshaw, hello, James Harrison, Charles Woodson, the Asmawa, they're all still out there. I feel like they can help some teams. So I'm looking forward to seeing where they go. And then of course the NFL drafts. I mean, that's where a lot of these teams shine that really aren't making these moves right now. So we shall see.
All right. Train, any last words?
Still missing Urlacher, man. I hope by an act of God he ends up with the team. Aaron Rodgers said it best. We will miss that guy's leadership, definitely. On another note, this is probably the craziest free agency I've ever seen as far as, you know, well-known veterans being out there on the market and for this long. I mean, Michael Turner hasn't even been picked up yet. Wow. And I still think Duke can run, but you know what? That's the nature of the game. And lastly, I do want to say thank you to our listeners, man. The numbers, when you spewed that out at the beginning of the show, T, I was just like, wow. I can't believe people actually listen to us. It's still kind of surreal, but that's awesome. So thank you.
Hey, what were the numbers? I actually missed that earlier. I must have just joined as soon as I was being talked about. What were the numbers?
I'll send it to you. I don't want to brag on the air because I know we have other shows that listen to us, and since those numbers are kept by the website, then I'll keep it that way. But like I said, they were very impressive, and it's to all of the loyal fans out there listening to us, podcast, live. You know, I get a very comprehensive report, not only how many listeners, but I'm told what format they're listening to us, where they're from, and it's everywhere. So I just, you know, to echo you guys, thank you. Our Super Bowl show did twice the number of any show we've ever done, and we're still getting thousands of new listens per week, even though we haven't done a show since February. And it's just people still listening to our old shows, and, you know, we love it. So we just want to continue to grow the show and make it better. And like I say, it's amazing we only have about 400 likes on Facebook with all the listeners. So, guys, you're out there listening to us, man. Take a minute, go to Facebook, and just like the Facebook page for us, please. We would really, really appreciate that. You know, just like it and plug into what the Madden Voice is doing. We will be back on the air after the draft, so we'll take another month off and let free agency work itself out in the drafts at the end of April, and then we'll come back on, recap the major highlights of the draft along with whatever the latest developments in free agency were. So look for us then. You know, in the meantime, you know, the weather's we're starting to get a little bit of warmth coming. So we're going to get into the spring and the fall, spring and the summer. So even though we all miss football, let's enjoy the warm weather, unless some of us live in California. but for the rest of us, let's enjoy spring and summer. And I am really, really looking forward to the upcoming season. I think it's going to be an incredible football season. And we really want to make the show even bigger, even better, and really expand our reach and expand what we do. So just stay tuned to the Madden Voice. So for Dr. Train, for K-Star, I want to say once again, thank these guys for all their love and support. Thank all the listeners. And remember, just stay tuned and keep up with the Madden Voice, because ultimately – all feuds are settled on the field. We'll see you guys in about a month. Take care. We'll be right back.